Okay, this first little bit, as we get going this morning, is interactive. So that means you have to listen and engage with what I'm saying and answer, okay? So when you see a Christmas present sitting there under the tree, what are the three questions that you want to know the answer to? What is it? You want to know what is it, right? What else do you want to know?
Who's it for?
And then the final one.
Who's it from?
Yeah, who's it for? Who's it from? And there's one more as well that you probably want to know.
Who made it?
Well, that's more, when can I open it? Which you, if you're an adult, you know you have to wait. But others might be saying, when can I open it? Now, I've got a Christmas gift here this morning. And so we're going to be thinking about these questions then. Who is it from? What is it? And when can I have it? So who's going to come and help me to open it to discover what is inside? Any of the children want to come up and help? Oh, you wanted to, Josh, did you? Come on, somebody come and help me. Right, you read what the tag says. Let's find out who is it for and from.
To all at Riverside Baptist Church, a Christmas gift for you all, with love from God the Father, Son and Holy Spirit. Open now.
Ooh, so we can open. We've got the third question answered. We can open it now. So, and it's for all of us, and it's from God, Father, Son and Holy Spirit. Right, I think we should let someone else have part of the joy. So who wants to come and actually open it and see what is inside? It's not a lot of ripping involved, you'd be pleased to see. Right, okay, so what's inside? An envelope. Yeah. It's not very exciting. Have a look inside the envelope, see what's inside there. And then read it out to us.
Certificate of adoption. This certificate is proudly presented to all who believe in Jesus. As a child of God, you now belong to us and are welcome to enjoy all the privileges of being part of this family. Everything that is ours is yours. You are no longer a slave, but God's child, and have been set free. Father, Jesus Christ, Holy Spirit.
Right. So God's gift is the gift of adoption. And you can see that in Galatians chapter 4 that we read a few minutes ago. Why did God send Jesus? The answer in Galatians 4 and verse 4 is that when the set time had fully come, God sent his son, born of a woman, born under the law, to redeem those under the law that we might receive adoption to sonship. So why did God send Jesus? To make us his children, to sonship. So it's not just forgiveness, it's not just a place in heaven, but it's that we might know God, to belong and to be part of his family. And when can you have it? As we've said, the answer is now. And this is God's gift to you and I this Christmas, and to enjoy being his child. And that is the heart of what the gospel is all about. And how well you grasp that is the key to the Christian life. So in a moment, we're going to look in more detail at those three questions. Who is it from? What is it? And when can I have it? But first of all, let's just pray before we get into the passage. Our God in heaven, we thank you for this most amazing gift that we have just opened, that you are a God who gives us the gift of adoption, making us your children. And we thank you that that's open for all who will come and believe. And we pray now, as we come to explore what that means in more detail, as we look at this passage and what it teaches us concerning these things, we pray you might open our hearts to hear and to respond and to thrill us again with the marvel of what you have done for us in the Lord Jesus Christ. And we pray that this will be a gift, and not just for this moment as we think about it this morning, but something to be enjoyed through this whole season and all our lives. May we be full of joy over what you have been pleased to give us. So speak to us and help us this morning as we come now, in Jesus' name. Amen. So our first question, who is it from? And the answer is God. But when you look more carefully at the text, you see that this gift is from the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. That all are involved in us having this wonderful gift of being made God's children, this gift of Christmas joy. So let's look at the roles of each of them as it's shown to us. Our focus this morning is Galatians 4, 4 to 7. Those three verses, we will go a little bit wider at one or two points, but it's particularly these three verses. And what we see then is that this gift comes from the heart of the Father. There is an outline on the sheet if you want to look at it, but I've left some gaps so that you have to listen and to fill it in. It shouldn't be very difficult to guess what the words are. It comes from the heart of the Father. Because in these verses, we are told twice that God sends. So verse 4, when the set time had fully come, God sent his Son. And then in verse 6, because you are sons, God sent the Spirit. So the Father, God the Father, is pictured in these verses as the one who instigates, who sends. And he commissions these two separate sendings, but with the same end in view. They are the roles are different. One is the sending of the Son, the other is the sending of the Spirit. But each one has the same purpose, and that is that we might know the reality and be made children of God. So verse 4, when he talked about sending the Son, in verse 5 it says, so that we might receive adoption to sonship. And then verse 6 tells us he sent the Spirit into our hearts, who calls our Abba Father, so that you're no longer a slave but God's child. So both of these sendings that the Father sends, the Son and the Spirit, is with the same purpose in view, which is that we might know and enjoy being God's children. So the Son, we're told in verse 4, when the set time had fully come, reminds us of the events of Christmas, were perfectly timed, that he was born of a woman, a real, normal, human birth. He was born under law. That means he came to live under the restrictions and to obey all that God had said. And the purpose of verse 5 reminds us that we might receive sonship. So God sent his Son so we can be adopted. And then the Spirit, in verse 6, who's also sent, is sent into our hearts. And that is directly related to us being God's children. So this Father is sending both Son and Spirit for us to be children. God the Father wants a family. He wants a happy family. That is his intention behind the plan. A plan that goes way back to before the world was even made. Whenever you start out on a project, whether it's a building project or to make something or to cook something, you need to know what you're trying to achieve. It's the same with you're going on a journey. You don't just get in the car and go, where shall we go today? You have you generally have a destination in view, because you know that if you don't know, you'll never get there. You want to have a plan, what you're achieving to do. And Christmas then, and the events of Christmas, is motivated by the love of God to bring us to know God as his children. It's not just from the Father. It's also from the Son. It's what the Son came for. And so the desires of the Father are not just words, but actions. He sends what is most precious to him. And through the Son's work, then, we receive the status as sons. And verses 4 and 5 describe what he did. He had to become a man and be born of a woman and born under the law to redeem those under the law. He had to pay that price so that we could be adopted as God's children. Now, if you just think about adoption in human terms, it's always wonderful, isn't it, when parents take on and adopt a child. But before that becomes an experience to enjoy, it's a legal matter to be resolved, because otherwise it's called kidnap. You know, if you want to adopt a child, you don't just go out in the streets and go, I'll have that one. There's a whole process that has to be gone through with the courts and things where they officially say, and they give a certificate of adoption to say, this is now yours, and you have all the rights and responsibilities of being parents of this child. And the problem of our sin means we are alienated and we are under a curse. And as he says in verse 3, we are enslaved to the elemental spiritual forces of this world. We're trapped by our sin because of our rebellion against God. But the Son came and he did everything necessary to stand in our place and to pay the price so that we can become children. He did everything necessary for the Father to be able to adopt us, living and dying in our place. And when he died, he not only paid for our freedom, but he also provides us with our adoption papers. And so that moment when we put our faith and trust in the Lord Jesus Christ, that very moment we become God's children. That's why the Son came. And then, who's it from? It's from the Father, it's from the Son, but it's also from the Spirit. It's what the Spirit enables. And you can see that in verse 6. Because we are sons, God sent the Spirit of his Son into our hearts. The Spirit who calls out, Abba, Father. So the Spirit is sent, and the whole purpose of the Spirit is to make real what the Son has accomplished and what the Father desires, so that we feel and are able to enjoy being God's children. You see, the Father doesn't want us to be his children, but actually to rest and to enjoy his fatherly love. And that's why he sends the Spirit. His aim is so that we might know the joy and love and the confidence of being a child of God. That's what Romans 8 tells us and reminds us of the Spirit's work. Romans 8, 14 to 16 says this: for those who are led by the Spirit of God are the children of God. The Spirit you received does not make you slaves so that you live in fear again. Rather, the Spirit you received brought about your adoption to sonship. And by him we cry, Abba, Father. The Spirit himself testifies with our spirit that we are God's children. Now, if we are children, then we are heirs, heirs of God and co-heirs with Christ, if indeed we share in his sufferings. It is the Spirit himself who comes. That's not a thing or just some mysterious power. This is God himself, by his Spirit, the Spirit of Christ, coming to enable us to enjoy family life. So I hope you're beginning to see, we think about who gives us Christmas joy, who gives us this great gift of adoption, that it's from the very heart of God. In my work, we have a secret Santa, you know, where you get a name and then you have to buy them a present, very small budget. But I was amazed that amount of thought that some people put into their small gift to a colleague, and the research they'd done, and looking on eBay for something, some memorable thing, significant, that they know they'd be interested in to some date, and then wrapping it in special wrapping paper and so forth. It's like, wow, you've really gone to town in this. God has put his all, his whole heart into this gift of making us his children. Let's go on to our second question then. What is it? As we've opened the present, and we've seen that God has given us adoption, made us his children. But what does it mean? Verses 6 and 7 of Galatians 4 give us some of the details. I want to share with you four words this morning that just help us to grasp a little bit more about what it means to be adopted as God's children. So word number one is belong. And all through this passage, he's been emphasizing that we now belong. So if we go back to 3:26, he says, "So in Christ Jesus, you are all children of God through faith." In 4:6, he says, "Because you are sons, God sent the Spirit of his Son into our hearts." In verse 3:29, he says, "If you belong to Christ," belong. We're part of the family. We live here. We're not outsiders. God is our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ, our brother. We belong. You know, sometimes when you go and stay somewhere different, or maybe if you go away, move house, you know, it takes a while, doesn't it, before you feel at home and you realize that you actually, I belong here. Or you go to a new place of work or a new place of study. It takes a while before you realize, actually, I'm not the new guy, or I'm not an outsider. I belong here. And that is what he's saying to us. We're not outsiders. We belong. When Jesus' disciples says to him, "Lord, teach us how to pray," in Matthew's Gospel, Sermon on the Mount, Jesus says, when you pray, you're to say, "Our Father." He says, pray to God as your Father exactly the same way as I pray to God as my Father. Because you belong. We're part of the same family now. Just the same access that I have, you have. And just when the sun comes out, and it gives of itself, and we feel its warmth and light. So the Spirit, he is God, and he gives that warmth and light that we might share the life of God, because we belong. That's the first word. The second word builds on belonging, and that's the word intimacy. You see, because we belong, we're welcome. There is an intimacy to be enjoyed between us and God. The Father wants us to draw near. And you can see that in 4:6. Because you are sons, God sent the Spirit of his Son into our hearts, the Spirit who calls out, "Abba, Father." Calls out. There's a passion and a feeling in that word. And the Spirit stirs in our hearts to have that sense of God, that we can, and we can relate to him intimately and closely. He is our Father. We are to draw near. Abba means, is the Greek, and Father is Gentile. We're not remote, but we're now on the inside. We belong to him, and because of that, we have the intimacy with God, dear Dad. That's what it's saying. It's the drawing near of a hug. Without barriers or embarrassment, but with confidence, we're told to come to the throne, because the one on the throne is Jesus Christ, the Son of God. And he says, come and you will receive grace and mercy and sympathy and gentleness. And we can enjoy that intimacy because we are children, and because this is what the Father, Son and Holy Spirit have given to us. We don't have to muster something up. We just come because we belong. The third word is inheritance. This is in verse 7. "So you are no longer a slave, but God's child. And since you are his child, God has made you an heir." Inheritance is something that gets passed on to you because you belong usually to the family, and it's wealth or values that are passed down the generations, as it were. And he's saying that we are now have a great inheritance with God because we belong to the family, and all that is God's is ours. To to enjoy. One thing about inheritance is that it's not earned, it's passed on. And as we are God's children, then all that is God's becomes ours. And that's our future, to be with God and to enjoy God and to glory in him and all that is his forever and ever. And that's why for us there will be no death. We may go through death as in natural death, but eternal death has been taken and spared, and we will enjoy eternal life with our God forever. He is treating us as fully fledged children, co-heirs with Christ. We share his glory. This is our future. It's a good present, this Christmas present, isn't it? We belong to God. We have intimacy. We have inheritance. And the fourth word is freedom. Verse 7 says, you're no longer a slave. And then he expands what he means about that in verses 8 to 11, where he says, formerly, when you didn't know God, you were slaves to those who by nature are not gods. But now that you know God, or rather are known by God, how is it, because this is why he's writing to them, why are they going back and putting themselves under silly rules and regulations when they have freedom? Why are you turning back to those weak and miserable forces? Do you wish to be enslaved all over again? We've been bought by the blood of the Lord Jesus, and so we have a freedom to enjoy. What does that mean? It's easy to throw out words, isn't it, and say we are free. Well, we're free from the Mosaic law. That's the law given to Moses in the Old Testament and all its rules and regulations that went with it. We're free from obeying all those minutiae because we've been set free. We're free from the curse of the law. You see, those who disobey God's law are cursed and are deserving of punishment. But there is no condemnation now for us because we are in Christ Jesus. We're free from Satan and sin, because sin is not just a thing we do wrong, but it's a power that we were enslaved to as a ruler. We couldn't help but sin. But that the tyranny of that ruling power of Satan and sin has been broken, and we're no longer under him anymore. We are free. We're also free from the traditions and rules of men. Notice what he says in verse 10. You're observing special days and months and seasons and years. He said, why are you doing that? We're very good at creating rules for each other about how to live as Christians. But he says, you're free from that. Now, you may choose to live in a certain way. You may choose to do certain things that you believe are beneficial, that help you to live for God. But you have no right to impose those upon the consciences of others. We are free. Doesn't mean that we're godless. The Lord Jesus lays down a blueprint of how and a set of rules as to the law of Christ. But those are, we mustn't see them in the same light. And we have a freedom to live. Then, of course, everything we want to do to the glory of God. And we want to do it with thanksgiving. And we rightly ask about things and say, is this beneficial? Because some things may not be, they may be fine, but they may not be good for us. And so we say, I won't do that because it's not doing me any good. Or we may ask, how is this going to impact other people? And so I may restrain from doing something because I know it will be a stumbling block to others. He's pressing upon us. We live in a world of grace, of freedom, where all the good gifts to be enjoyed from him as our Heavenly Father and as a child of God. So what is this gift? This gift, this Christmas gift that is all about what the Lord Jesus came to accomplish, is sonship, to belong, to know, to have a shared future, to have a freedom. This is God's gift for you this Christmas. And as you and I think about why Jesus Christ came and the marvel that God became a human, We mustn't just think about what we have been saved from. Saved from our sin. Saved from the punishment of our sin. But we must also think what we have been saved to be. And that is, we have been saved to be God's children. And all that that means. One more question. When can I have it? When it's before Christmas, you're saying, when can I open it? And even on Christmas Day, when maybe you have opened it, then you'll be saying, when can I play with it? When can I wear it? When can I use it? When can I eat it? The answer to all those questions with this gift is now. You don't have to wait till the 25th of December. You don't have to wait till after Christmas dinner to eat your chocolate. You know, this is now. Not saying that this, I'm saying that this gift is now. In Christ Jesus. If you belong to Christ, it all flows out of our relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. I don't know where you are at this morning, but this gift is for you. And you can simply come to him in your helplessness and embrace him as Saviour. And you will have the gift of being his child right now. And if you already are a Christian, if you've already put your faith and trust in the Lord Jesus Christ, I want you to realise what you are this morning. And remember that the events of Christmas are about enabling us to enjoy sonship. And so let's just play that out in two particular ways then, as we make some take-homes for us this morning about this great truth and reality. Two things to do in response to what we've been thinking about. Firstly, take time to invest and cultivate your friendship with God. We have a loving Father, a gracious Saviour, a comforting Spirit. They are our family. And my plea is to you and to me that we don't ignore them this Christmas, but enjoy them. I know, no doubt for you, there'll be lots of comings and goings, there'll be families and there'll be parties and everything else. And sometimes the tragedy of the Christmas season is that God gets squeezed out. And yet the very nature of what it's all about is for us to know and to enjoy God. So enjoy him. Make those spaces and times to just reflect a few minutes here and a few minutes there or whatever works for you. But take time to invest and cultivate your friendship with God. You now belong to him. You're his child. Don't see it as a rule or a being enslaved, but a relationship to be enjoyed. Just like every relationship, every friendship, you have to invest, don't you? Otherwise they drift. And, you know, if you don't keep up with people, then that's what happens. And so let's make sure that with our relationship with God and being part of his family, and being his children, that we cultivate and invest and make the most of that. The second application of all of this to us is be free. Be free to enjoy the opportunities of the season. You're a child of God. There'll be parties, there'll be events, there'll be food, there'll be gifts, there'll be travel, there will be TV shows. And use the freedom that is yours as a child of God to enjoy the good gifts God has given. And don't make silly rules. And don't be binding other people's consciences about what they can or can't do. Let them work out with the Spirit of God and the word of God as to what is right and appropriate and best for them. And Christmas Day, Register Day. It's a Wednesday. If you want to keep it holy, in a special way, you keep it holy in a special way. But we're free. You want to go to work like every other day of the year? Probably not, but you're free. Obviously, you have to think about your family and what they might want. But see what it says. He's rebuking them in verse 10. You're observing special days and months and seasons and years. And you're creating a set of rules that you have to do this and you have to do that. And he's saying, but you don't. You are free. You're God's children. Now, it's great, isn't it, to take time at Christmas to think about what God has done. It's not inappropriate. It's not obligatory either. Enjoy being his child. Take time to invest and cultivate your friendship with God and enjoy and be free to enjoy the opportunities of the season. That is God's gift of joy to you today, for this week, for every moment of life, to be adopted as his children and to enjoy that reality. That's why the Lord Jesus came into this world, not just to save sinners, but that we might receive adoption to sonship. This really is the gift that keeps on giving, the gift that comes from God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. That means that we belong and have intimacy and inheritance and freedom. Let's enjoy what God has given us, freely of his grace in the Lord Jesus Christ.